Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Just to mention there, going into the next air, road signs across Donegal were vandalised with red spray paint to cover up the English language names last week, prompting Trinity College's Irish language officer, Padraig McBrahig, to say that the anglicised forms of Irish place names have been imposed by hundreds of years of British rule. He said Ireland should change our road signs to make the Irish language names more prominent than their English translations. I don't know if you'd agree with that. I'm sorry, I don't. In other words, you know the way you see a sign in Ireland and it has, you know, Dublin, big writing, and then small writing, Ballyhackley, underneath. Or, you know, Galway and Galif underneath in small writing or whatever it is. Do you believe it should be the other way around? Should Ballyhackley and then Dublin in small writing underneath? Because I think that would be extremely confusing for tourists. Not just for tourists, by the way, for Irish people themselves. Because most Irish people don't know the names of most of the towns in Irish. I know we could probably learn them fairly quickly, but we'd have to. But hey, for tourists, that wouldn't be much use, would it? Because most tourists that come to this country are probably English-speaking tourists. Or certainly have a knowledge of the English language. They certainly don't have a knowledge of the Irish language. If they're Spanish, Italian, American, whatever, they don't have a knowledge of the Irish language. So why would we do that? Why would we do something that would be realistically damaging? Well, it's not really affecting anybody, is it? Is anybody upset about it? Does it piss anybody off? Piss you off, AJ? No, it's not pissing me off. Pissed off somebody in Donegal so much that they went around with red spray. Remember there was a guy in Cork did it there going back a few years ago. And not only did he do that, he went around and found all the Royal Mail postbox, you know, with the Eeyore Royal Mail thing, with an angle grinder and start angle grinding the Eeyore off all the postbox because it was a reminder of the Queen. Well, anyway, let me know what you think. Do you believe names should be changed to English or to Irish? Askelga. Let me know. The number is 087-188. All right, welcome back. Now, I'm just looking at this story here. Road signs across Donegal were vandalised with red spray paint to cover up the English language names last week. By the way, this is not the first time this has happened. It's happened before. It happened in Cork going back many years ago as well. I remember talking to the guy that did it on the air, and Jay-Z didn't really have any reasons as to why he was doing it, apart from the fact that there was some sort of anti-Britishness going on. But it kind of prompted Trinity College's new Irish language officer, Padraig McBrahig, to say that the anglicised forms of Irish place names have been imposed by hundreds of years of British rule. I don't know, Padraig. You know, that kind of carries on this whole feeling, this kind of anti-Britishness, doesn't it, when you kind of say even things like that. You know, anglicised forms of Irish place names have been imposed by hundreds of years of British rule. I know we've had hundreds of years of British rule. Pardon me. He said, Ireland should change our road signs to make the Irish language names prominent and their English translations, obviously, down below. I don't know if you'd agree with that. You know, that everything would be in Irish, even like literature. Now, currently at the moment, we get literature, you know, be it court documents, be it legal documents, be it, you know, government papers, whatever it is. And we get Irish translations, usually on the back or something like that. That's a kind of, so listen here, if you like Irish too, here's the thing. Or if you ring a government department, it's spoken in English. And it says, if you want Irish, press 2. Here. Or if you want English, continue. If you want to continue in English, press 1. So English is always the default. But what Padraig is suggesting is that Irish should be the default. Now, he doesn't mention all the other stuff. I'm talking about that. He's talking about road signs in particular. But what he's suggesting is that Irish should be the default. And English should be kind of secondary to it. And I don't know whether you agree with that idea. I mean, would you like to see all our road signs changed? You know, so it wouldn't say Dublin, for example, you know, on the M1 coming in. It would say Ballyhackley, and Dublin would be just a small little writing underneath, or Galif, or whatever it is. Is that what you'd like? Yeah, I don't know. The number is 087-188-0008. Melissa, hi, how are you?
Hi, Nate, how are you?
Hundreds of years of oppression. That's what I'm going to be hearing tonight.
800 years. Misery and clouds and rain. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I don't know why they're...
Some of us are in the sunny southeast.
So I don't know why they're vandalising signs now. They're vandalising the signs doesn't really achieve anything. But anyway.
No, they're destroyed.
Yeah.
Like you can't even read most of them. I wish the council would go out and fix most of them. Well, they're turned in the wrong direction. Mm. Like I had someone visit me from Limerick, and he said, like, if I was a tourist coming from Limerick to Waterford, I would not have found you.
Yeah. God bless Google Maps.
Because
there
is no signposts. Yeah. Like, and as you know, I've sat on the council and signposts. Jesus Christ.
Well, the worst problem with signposts in Ireland, the biggest problem with signposts in Ireland.
With a sign, without a sign. Do you remember that song we all learned in school years ago? Signpost without a sign. That's Ireland.
Right. But Melissa, the biggest problem with signposts in Ireland is that the, you know, the bushes and the trees are so overgrown, you can't see most of them.
Well, that's the farmer's job to cut them down, as they all know, and they can only do it at certain times of the year. So, like, they're all being trimmed since September now. And I agree with it because it's minding the birds and the nests and the habitat. So, you know, but that is the farmer's duty to do that. And, you know, we don't have enough council workers to go to get them to do it half of them. So it's like in any case.
Okay, so getting back to the question, should we?
Let's get back to the Irish and the English.
Yeah.
Look, I don't even see the Irish on any of the signs anymore. I do want the Irish on every single sign in Ireland, personally. It's teaching people, even our young people, out there driving the Irish, even if they're looking at it. The English has to be put first because it's primarily the most spoken, even amongst us all. Niall, you're not fluent Irish, I'm sure.
I'm not, no.
And I, unfortunately, am not, but I'm learning it again, thankfully. And I used to be, and I was when my kids was growing up, but we do lose it because we're not practicing it. I do want Irish in every sign. I know I went on an effort there to get dog fouling posters made, and the law had been changed that it had to be done in Irish, which I was okay with. And I was, this is great. And we're teaching our young people our language. And in a way, you know, we hear about integration, diversity, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'd rather see the English, and I'm not seeing enough the Irish on signposts personally, in my mind, that the people that come here learn to know our language, of our culture, our land. Like, I've travelled, you have travelled, we've all travelled outside of Ireland. Well, not everyone, but some of us have. And, you know, you go to Rome and you do the Roman Stew in our Irish language.
Yeah, but you remember that famous short movie? I don't know if you remember it. It was on in the cinema.
Every signpost.
Yeah, but Melissa, sorry, did you remember that famous movie? It was a short movie. It was, you know, a 15, 20 minute long movie. It used to be on the pictures before some of the movies. And it was about this little Chinese lad. And he was watching television one day. And he thought Ireland was on the television, and he thought it looked like such a beautiful place that he wanted to move there. So somebody said to him, but they don't speak English over there, you have to learn Irish. And he went, he looked up national language of Ireland, Gaelic, right? So off he went anyway, and studied for 2 years to learn Irish locally in China, right?
Yeah, yeah,
and then he arrived in Dublin airport with his bags 2 years later, right? Fluent in Irish, this little Chinese lad, and nobody understood a word he said.
Yeah, I actually saw that. And there was a video done on something similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. But, you know, that's just, that was their ignorance. But I do believe we have to have Irish on every signpost, and that's teaching people Irish as you go along. If we lose
but we
our
do,
language,
yeah, but we do have Irish on every signpost. It's just not prominent. You know what I mean?
Come on, you'd want to squint to see it. And it's not on every... Not the European signposts, not on the motorways, it's not.
Is it not?
They're not doing it. No, it's not.
I can't say I've noticed now, to be honest with you.
Oh, God, I'm telling you, I've after been all over the country now.
Yeah, but I rarely look at signposts because I'm looking at my sat-nav or my Google Maps all the time, so I rarely ever look at signposts anymore.
Yeah, but that's the fear of us not having the language. It's not on it. It's not on it. And the local councils wouldn't let you put up a poster without it being written in Irish as well as English. But the signposts and the European ones and the OPW, of course, who the councils have no say with, or they don't even bother meeting with any local council in the whole of the country, and the OPW are like a separate identity and they decide on it. Neither the guards or the council have a say in any of it. And the OPW are like this crowd on their own, and they just do all the signs and they don't listen to anybody.
Mm.
So, yes, I do want Irish on every centre sign in Ireland. And unfortunately, they can't even give you the feckin' sign to coming off motorways to what county you're going to. And these OPW crowd have the whole say on everything and they don't listen to the Gardaí. And I sat on a policing committee for 5 years and I sat on a council in Kilkenny for 5 years and both said they're not listening to them. They only came to meet us once in the whole 5 years, I said. So they're not listening to the people, like, at all.
By the way, Melissa, are you running for election this year?
I am.
Oh, okay. So where are you running?
My name is in the hat. I'm waiting on health results, but right now I'm stable, so I'm actually saying publicly now here on your state here tonight, until this week, I put my name in a year ago, Niall, and was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, but I'm very, very stable right now and have an alternative health treatment outside of different other areas that I hope to bring to Ireland on cancer care and mm-hmm. been pushing for 15 years, to be honest. You know, we need to change a lot of things in Ireland.
So you're running in Waterford, are you? Who else is running down there?
Waterford. Well, obviously, I'm up against the sitting... I can't say it any other way. Shane Fainer. And the Greens and...
They're kind of imploding at the moment.
Butler,
yeah.
Transgender, her child person... Yeah. Hiding paedophilia within the party.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I know you're not too happy with Sinn Féin. Okay, yeah. All right.
No, obviously I'm an ex Sinn Féin elected councillor and topped the polls in 2014 with Sinn Féin. So what I see with Sinn Féin coming out now is nothing that I didn't expose on BBC television in 2016.
Okay, well, I didn't want to get into a whole political conversation. Just want to know where you're running and who you're running up against. All right. Let me just go to Martin. Martin, hi, how are you?
I'm well, Niall. Good evening.
Good. Martin, in relation to the Irish road signs, I'm looking at some of the text coming in here. Somebody says, what about the person who delivers the post? Well, they need special training to get a job delivering. And I'd like to see all the signposts in both Irish and English, as it's Ireland, and therefore to be expected, even though the vast majority may not speak it, it helps to hold on to our heritage, says somebody else. Hmm.
Isn't that where we spent all the money now, the code thing?
Okay, so but hang on the air codes. Yeah, let just Martin get in here. Martin, would you like to see Irish being prominent on the signs rather than English?
I'd like to see parity. But I think this is just another distraction, to be honest with you, Niall. When it comes to road signage, you're absolutely right. All road signage, and I absolutely understand, you know, there are signs that are so close to ditches. Yes, it's the farmer's job to clear the hedges and the bushes. But, I mean, it's not rocket science for the councils to actually put up road signs that have nothing to do with farmers. You know, it's not really beyond the realm of human endeavour to do such a thing. Mm. Pardon me. But I really think this is all a distraction. I think it's nonsense because, in my opinion, and it's to my great disappointment that I'm not a fluent Irish speaker.
Yeah,
I think the education system failed me in that regard. It wasn't taught as an actual language. I know thousands of words in Irish. I'm only learning how to construct sentences. I have 5 grandchildren, 2 of whom are less than a year old, so, you know, they don't kind of count in the conversation we're having. But my 3 other grandchildren, they have been from the time of when they first went to preschool. It's been in Irish. My daughters speak Irish. And it's just, if we want to hold on to our heritage, if we want to regain that and take it back, I really feel that the education system has to change. And it's not really that difficult. Make sure that all the teachers, you know, you set a date and you say from this date on, the state say from this date on, all teachers, as they come out of college, have to be able to speak Irish fluently. And you say, as and from this date, Irish will be
All teachers. I agree with all primary school teachers, but why would a physics teacher, for example,
okay,
at secondary school?
Okay. You know yeah, I mean? No. I accept the premise of what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm talking about all primary school teachers.
Yeah.
They should be able to speak Irish fluently.
But teach Irish.
Teach all subjects, obviously, with the exception of English, in the Irish language. Now, there are people who will say, oh, well, that will mean that, that children won't be able to speak English.
I don't know about that.
But, no, hang on.
So what, teach maths and history and everything else in Irish?
Well, they do that
in the Gael schools, Martin, anyway. Yeah, they do that.
We spent many years travelling around Europe when I was younger, walking. I was working for an Irish company, working all over Europe, and I could go into, have a meal or into a bar in Amsterdam or in Bonn or wherever, and the people spoke their own language. Now they also had English, but they were taught in their own language, and they were also taught English.
Ship has sailed, hasn't it?
Well, it has sailed, but it can also be, it can be recalled, it can be withdrawn.
It can be turned around, Niall, because my son in third class was learning 20 Irish spellings a week. And I'm down here in Waterford, it's extreme multicultural when we moved here. I moved here when he was 2.5 years of age. But by the time he was in sixth class, he was only learning 3 Irish spellings, so not to upset all the others in the class. And I remember being in secondary school down in County Limerick in a convent, and it was only girls, and then the boys came in, and, you know, certain people didn't have to learn French.
Yeah, because they're exempt from it, yeah, yeah.
Exactly,
no.
Remember that?
Yeah, and by the way, the numbers of people who are exempt from learning a second language, i.e. Irish, which is considered to be a second language in school, are now rising. And not only because of, you know, people coming to this country from other lands, but also people using, you know, different special needs or whatever it is as a reason not to learn the Irish language, which is sometimes a genuine reason, but sometimes not so genuine. But Martin, in relation to going to, say, Spain or Portugal or Germany or France, and of course, you know, most people there will speak English as a second language, you know, that is a disadvantage to those countries. It is a huge advantage to us to be an Irish-speaking country. Or an English-speaking country, should I say. Sorry, apologies.
Yes, of course it is.
Hang on, Melissa.
Absolutely.
The Irish taxpayers paid for the Polish to have Saturday training of their Polish language, but we weren't given that in our schools. It was taken, the Irish language was taken from our Irish national schools.
But it's still taught in most national schools, just maybe not very well. So yeah, go ahead, Martin. Yeah.
No, sorry. Look, I'm of a generation. Right? I'm knocking on the door of 65. Now, when I went to school, if we were doing English, maths, history, geography, whatever, we did it through English. We took out a book, we read it. It was discussed in the school. You know, communication was done between students in English because that was simply the way it was done, and Irish, or Buntus, as it was called when I was a kid, it was done where there was a felt board and there were little caricatures of mammy and daddy.
Oh, I remember
and,
that,
you know,
yeah.
Shinae mammy, Shinae daddy, Shinae Sean, Shinae Marta. I can give you loads of Shinae's, but I can't construct the sentence because it wasn't taught to me as a real living language. That's the problem. And I believe that part of that, a good part of that problem was because, in my opinion, at the time, to be in the civil service, you had to have fluent Irish. And I think it was a method of control. Keep this very limited. Don't teach young children how to speak Irish, because it opens up the civil service to everybody. And
But there was a time to be a broadcaster in this country, you had to have fluent Irish. There was a time when you were a guard, you had to have fluent Irish. You would never get a job in RT as a presenter unless you could speak Irish at one stage.
Yeah, but why has that been done away with? I mean, Why do we have a situation
because
where
it's unnecessary? Because it's unnecessary most of the time.
No, from a day-to-day situation, you may say it's not necessary. But if we want to have a situation where we have people who have pride in being Irish, who have an esteem for who we are, who cherish our heritage, who cherish all those things that go along with making us an individual population, an individual country, and an individual people, we should hold on to the things. I'm not proud of the fact that at the moment I'm not a fluent Irish speaker. I'm trying to learn it through apps. Mm. I try to speak Irish to my grandchildren because...
You're going to be interested in my next guest because Molly Guidra has her own app called our own... Sort of, she says she teaches Irish with Molly online, and she's got a huge following, right? And we're going to be talking to her very shortly, and she's actually going to be doing a little bit of a test on me to see how bad I am as well. I'm equally as embarrassed as you are.
I mean, Niall, look, my eldest granddaughter, she's only 12 years of age, right? Now, she has special needs in some regards. She can speak Irish, she can speak English. She's not being taught Japanese, but she has an interest in Japanese. She's learning Japanese on her own accord. Not only can she speak, now I'm not saying she's a fluent speaker by any means, but the Japanese language, it's not like Irish or English where it's phonetic, you know, you have it.
Yeah, teotoriate karamaiko, aiso hito yo, shiso kana yo, ini hikario, tomoshi, ito shiki, yoshio, idaki.
She can look at the caricatures.
That was Japanese, by the way. I repeat it again if you want me to.
Children are sponges. They can absorb so many things. And if you can speak, if you open up a second language to children, it opens them up to a third and a fourth and a fifth. It just becomes so much easier for them.
Yeah, my own stepdaughter loves kind of Asian culture. She loves Korean and Japanese, and she's teaching herself Korean using Duolingo. But stay there for a second. Stay there. John, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Noel. How are you?
Good. John, okay, well, you're my final caller in this before I go to our guest who's going to be talking to us about the Irish language, coincidentally. But, I mean, do you think all the road signs and everything should be changed that it's Irish is predominant rather than secondary?
I think Irish language should be predominant, and if I just want to echo that last caller, like, it's to my biggest regret that I never studied the Irish language. You see, the problem was when I went to a special needs school, we didn't study it in a special needs school, you know?
Mm.
So it's something I care passionately about because I love this country. I don't love how the country's been run, but I love the tricolour. I love my country.
Yeah, I think we'd all like to be proud patriots, wouldn't we? But in saying that, here's three of us on the air who don't speak Irish.
Yes, but who is it?
It's education system.
Exactly.
I would love to study it myself. Mm. And I think there's a way of doing it, really. Like, if you watch, we just say Newark on TJ Carter, and you look at the sign language down below.
Yeah.
That's a quicker way to pick up on it.
Mm. But mind you, you'd be surprised at how much Irish. You think you don't know an awful lot, but then you hear a bit of Irish, and you can kind of put two and two together and get a rough idea of what they're talking about.
Well, yes, but I'd love to study it because, as you last Joe yourself, was a close friend of mine, and he's a colleague, so they keep telling you like that. I love studying.
Mm.
But I just think that is something that we need to protect in this country because I think, unfortunately, given the liberal left country we're living in, they want to erode our culture. We should protect our culture and protect it at all costs.
Yeah. You know? And Martin said the same thing, and my only fear is when it comes to the Irish language, that ship has kind of sailed. We are predominantly an English-speaking country. At this time, there's 70,000 people in the country claim they speak fluent Irish. There's only 12,000 people in the country who claim they don't speak English and use Irish daily, and they are people who live in the Gaeltacht. So realistically, out of the 70,000, most of those are educators, by the way. So realistically, most of us, very few of us speak fluent Irish.
Well, I mean, look, the ship is sailed, but it's a ship that can be bought back in.
Mm, okay.
I just think that we need to fight to protect.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Martin, just very quickly, because I have to go now.
Yeah, sorry, very quickly. Just to touch on something that you mentioned and you kind of covered at your very opening of the program tonight, is you know, we get the governments we elect, so we deserve the governments we have. Now, yes, there's this whole thing of we had 800 years of oppression. We've been living with certainly, I would say, 20 years of oppression in this country since, because the government, no government in the past 20 years has cared about anything other than feathering their own personal nests and being part of a big collective. I don't want to be part of a collective. I'm all in for cooperation with other nations, other cultures, everything. I don't mind other people coming here if they're contributing. But I want to be able to maintain, I want to be able to establish my difference as an Irish individual. That's why I am now trying to learn Irish and have conversations with my grandchildren, because it's now that I realise how vitally important it is for us to have our own identity.
On that note, listen, Martin, thank you very much indeed, John.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.